You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, girl. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm so excited about this lesson, okay? This has to be one of my favorite lessons that I've taught so far this year about the poison of pride. I was inspired by a lesson that my pastor taught, or an actual series that my pastor taught about the poison of pride in our lives. And I needed to share all the revelation that I had got. And it is a perfect way for us to start landing the plane on our Bible study blitz series that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. And I'm so excited to end here because it's a check. Okay. Now I want y'all to know that I love y'all. And so the level of toe stepping that may happen in this episode and in next week's episode is not my fault. It's the truth though. Okay. So if you can't say amen, say ouch, just let it happen. Let it ride. You'll hear in the beginning of this lesson, I did a pop quiz with the ladies, and I'm going to drop a link in the show notes for you to take the pop quiz. If you want to get the totality of what's happening here in this lesson, stop right now. Take the pop quiz and then come back and listen to the lesson. The quiz is only like 5 questions, y'all. It's not nothing deep, but it is a self-assessment to really help us understand the way that pride is so sneaky and what it costs us. And I wanted to land this here because as we get ready to step into Q2 and as I get ready to come back live and in color on this mic, we have to ensure that the conversations that we have moving forward, we have pride moved out of our lives so we can really get what God is saying. Remember that all of this is for our growth. And sometimes God will prune things and that isn't comfortable, but it's necessary. Our goal here is always transformation. And so I need you to really start to build a spiritual appetite that is more than just God's going to bless you, and learn that the real blessing is in God doing the work to refine you so you look more and more like him every day. So I'm going to stop yipping and yapping, or chirping as my husband say. I'm going to stop chirping and I'm going to let the lesson do what it does. I'm telling you, stop right here, click the link, take the assessment first, and then come back. I love y'all, girl. I cannot wait to talk to y'all once this is over, and we're going to run it back. Let's get right into our lesson and part one on the poison of pride. So tonight's lesson is called The Poison of Pride, and there's a lot of lesson behind this and a lot of how we got here. But most importantly, I want all of us to know that we all have a heart condition. And I said this before, that I know because of how this has transformed me preparing this lesson, I know that this lesson, although it may not be comfortable, is what you've been praying for when you ask God, like, what is the disconnect? Where is it happening? We're going to uncover it tonight. We're going to talk about, we're talking about warfare tonight. Like, there are so many things. I had to pull back a little bit because I'm like, yo, I felt like I could have wrote a book. Like, my eyes have been opened. So I am excited to teach tonight's lesson.
Y'all know we do everything is unto the Lord. Y'all know that although we joke about me snatching edges and all of that, I don't have the authority to snatch edges without Holy Spirit. So please listen to him. If you get something from this, glory be to God, not to me. Okay. And I want you to really, really be immersed in this lesson. Okay. Like all the way. So if this is your first time ever doing Bible study with me, girl, hey, I'm Dr. Sharla. I am the founder of the Prescription for Purpose app podcast, The Things, and I love to teach God's word. I very much so. I'm a nurse practitioner, but I also am now really learning that God has empowered me to help women establish their spiritual health. And this right here, so when y'all hear me give health references, this, don't think of this as Bible study. Think of this as your spiritual health class. Okay. The things that they should have taught you in health and you haven't gotten it and you need it, period. I want you to know that you can ask questions. You can make mistakes. You can, there's no guilt, shame, or condemnation. Conviction and condemnation are not the same. So if you feel a little bit of conviction, okay, glory be to God, because God disciplines those whom he loves. And also there is no guilt. There's no shame. Just repent. And let's like make some recourse. We value progress over perfection, relationship over religion, truth over tradition. And I'm gonna give y'all the truth. Now, tonight, I told y'all that I wanted y'all to make sure you're on your computers because I have a surprise for y'all. So what are we gonna be talking about tonight? By the time we leave tonight, you are gonna understand what pride is. You're gonna understand how pride seeps into your life. You're going to understand what it's costing you and how to manage it. Okay? This is what you need leaving this fast. This is what you need leaving this fast. When I tell y'all that the stuff that we talk about tonight isn't even really going to scratch the surface of what God has shown me, this is what you need leaving the fast. Okay? Now, I wish I had the Jeopardy noise, but I don't. So we have a pop quiz. And so I am going to stop sharing my screen and I'm going to throw some questions in the chat. So we're going to do first just a test question. I want to make sure that this is working, a little icebreaker. So let's talk about it. I'm going to throw the question up and then I need you to answer it. The question is, what card game is the superior card game for Thanksgiving? Is it spades? Is it phase 10 or is it Uno? The way y'all are disrespecting phase 10 lets me know that y'all need this lesson tonight. The way y'all are disrespecting my game lets me know. Yeah, phase 10 is amazing. Lets me know that y'all are really disrespecting my game. Don't worry about it. We're gonna figure out how to play it all together. Okay. So everybody. Oh, I'm very strong in spades. I just believe that spades ruins Black families. And me and my husband can't be spades partners if we want to also remain happily married. And so I feel as if, you know, the minute somebody reneges, now there's discord. And that sounds like the enemy to me. So yeah, I know how to play spades and 7-6-4. Real good. It ruins Black families. People be fighting and arguing over space. Like, that's division. And that's not the enemy, child. I don't know what it is. Okay. I don't like Uno because people are making up their own rules. That's also annoying. It's giving rebellion with the game of Uno. And so phase 10 is my favorite card game and literally nobody picked it. Nobody picked phase 10. I had hope for y'all. What happened? Okay. So everybody has answered the question. If you had any, the fact that everybody makes up their own games of Uno is very much so rebellion, and spades is very much so division and discord, and none of that sounds like God. Phase 10, there's an objective, you do it. So did anybody have any issue with answering the question? Because only 16 of y'all participated. I want all of y'all to participate. Oh, 17. Thank you, sis. Okay. So we are going to go to our next question. So these questions, I want you to answer them honestly. First thing you see, it's not that deep, y'all. Don't overthink this. Don't overthink this, okay? So this is hilarious. Our first question is, I struggle with, and you can go through, and I want you to select the things that you struggle with. Don't overthink it. Just click the things that resonate with you, and we'll keep it going. I struggle with blank. Tracy, are you on your phone? It might be because you're on your phone. I don't know if you came in earlier. I was telling people to do their laptops or their computers. I'm sure there's a way you can do this on your phone. I'm just not proficient in it.
If you have like an iPhone, sorry to interject, but I figured it out. You. Go to the part where it says more. You'll see an option for polls, but right now I don't really see it, but that's where I saw it.
Thank you. See, look, this is how the body works. Turquoise says she turned her phone sideways. Perfect. Okay. And remember, there's no condemnation, child. We're just answering the questions. We're doing some objective self-examination. Okay. 20 more seconds. Five. 4, 3, 2, 1. Perfect. Okay. Next question. I got tired of like sequencing these. I started naming them like 1.5 because I'd already made question 1 and 2. The next question is, when I get into a sticky situation, I typically pray first, then respond. Respond first, then pray when it doesn't work. Pray, then wait. My wait music. Ten more seconds. It's only 2 more questions, y'all. All right, next question. How often do you seek wise counsel on something you studied in the Word? And I'll add to this and say, how often do you, even if it's not like, oh, I have a question, how often are you having discussion with people in regards to what God revealed to you in your quiet time? So either you're asking questions or you're sharing with your friends on like, girl, I had studied this. Okay. The answers are rarely. I'm really confident in my ability to study God's word. Every now and then, if I think I'm stuck, most times I'm not confident yet in understanding the word, or sis, I ain't gonna hold you. I don't really see it like that. I'm loving the honesty. Loving the transparency. All right, 30 more seconds. I see a couple more people. We'll give you a couple minutes, chair, with a couple seconds. Okay. Okay, last question. And again, this is your honest, this is just what you think, okay? The end, don't overthink it. Pride is something I struggle with. True or false? Miss the quickness for me. Okay. See a couple falsies, a couple truths. Okay. I want you to know that when you filled out that question about what you struggle with, all of those things were symptoms of pride. So for my girlies who said false, but you checked something on the I'm struggling with that, baby girl. Hey. Hey, Bookie. Okay. Because when my pastor did a session, we just wrapped a series on the poison of pride. I was very much so glory gathered when I had the revelation that my unwillingness, my lack of desire for being in front of the camera was really rooted in pride and not in humility or introvertedness or being shy. Because pride isn't just about you being extra. It's about you not going all the way up to God's line that he's empowered you to. And I felt attacked. And over the course of the last 2 weeks, God has just continued to deal with me in this area. Yes, wow. You see how, I just want y'all to know that before I first snatch an edge, mine gets snatched first. That's why you got to be in a good, good church. Okay? Like, I text my first lady and said, hey, you tell your husband, keep my name out of his mouth. You tell your man that I said. He had to cover me like that. Okay? But glory be to God. I love y'all, but keep my name out your mouth. We're going to talk about pride because what God has been showing me and what God has been revealing to me is that a lot of us don't realize the danger of pride and the price of pride. Originally, my first lesson on this was going to be called The Price of Pride, but the more I sat down and studied, God just kept giving me download after download. And I said, okay, well, Keith, I'm so inspired that I'm going to take the name of your series and use it for my lesson, The Poison of Pride. And then we're going to talk about the price of pride in our next session. So we're going to touch on the price of pride tonight. I'm going to introduce it to you. But just based on these answers, right, in some shape, form or fashion, we are all struggling with pride. If you respond first and then pray, that means that you trust more in your own ability than God's. That's pride. If you pray first and then respond immediately after, and you ain't waited on God to give you a yes or a no, you just doing what you like, okay, God, I'm about to go do this. Sprinkle some seasoning salt or whatever you do on it to make it delicious and make it work out for my good. Romans 8:28 it, and I'm out. If you praying and then putting out like as you leave it, hey God, can I borrow the keys to the car? And before he could say yes, good night, name twin. Before he could say yes, you're doing the things. Because you treat God like a co-signer and not like he owned the whole lot. Girl, that's pride. You see how sneaky it is? You see how subtle it is? No one was saved. That's why I was like, girl, just tell the truth and shame the devil, because we all deal with it. And I'm going to tell y'all why. You're going to know why tonight. It's not even your fault. So don't get down on yourself. We're going to study the word. How often do you seek wise counsel on something you study? If the answer wasn't, girl, all the time, that's problematic. Because even me, I go to my first lady. I go to my friend group. And I'm always, before I bring something to y'all, I'm always checking, triple, double checking. And not, it's not always like, hey, I don't understand this. It's like, hey, I got this revelation. Is this really in alignment? Because isolation will make you your own false teacher. Okay, Jackie Hill Perry said that even your suffering or your pain will make you your own false teacher. Scripture will say whatever you want it to say. And so this is why we should always be being discipled or having a level of discourse about the word. Okay? Me and my homegirl, baby, 99.9% of our voice notes is how God has glory gathered me in my quiet time. Some shenanigans are also had, but most of it is us getting gathered. Yes, Brianna, she did mention pride being the reason that we don't pray. So if you said I struggle with praying frequently, that's pride. You don't ask for help because you don't think you need any. That's crazy. Right? The quiz will teach on its own. But we still have a lesson. This is just the pop quiz. That's what I'm like, oh, no, you need to be in the room, friend. You've got to be in the room. So if you are already getting gathered, put a me in the chat while I grab my study Bible, because I just got to set the instructions. If you've already been gathered, Okay. That means God is in the room. If you're getting gathered, if you're getting disciplined, God said, oh, baby, I love you. Let me talk to you real quick. I love you, sis. Let me talk to you real quick. Not actually going to open, because I want to read straight from my commentary when we get to this part. Because I want y'all to understand that I was on my couch. With no edges, none. Okay. Let's get into tonight's lesson. Oh God, you are so funny. Let's get into tonight's lesson. Did y'all enjoy the exercise? Albeit as gathery as it was, perfect. Okay. All right, so we're back from the quiz. A quiz you ain't even have to study for. You had a whole quiz, you ain't know it, okay? So we are going to talk about tonight the poison of pride. The poison of pride. Y'all put in the chat, pride is poison. The poison of pride. So let's define what pride is. Okay, I did a lot of reading, a lot of commentary digging, and this is the consensus that I came up with. And so I want y'all, this is why I said get your notes. Okay, there's something about you actually handwriting these things. So one of the biggest barriers that a lot of us as believers have, and not even a lot of us, all of us have, the biggest barrier, I'm standing 10 toes down on it, the biggest barrier that we have as believers is something so simple. So simple, but it's so detrimental to our relationship with God and our overall spiritual health. That thing is pride. Here's why I told y'all not to trip if you were like, girl, it's me. Yeah, I knew when I made the questions, we all were going to have the same response in some shape, form, or fashion. We all have problems with pride. Why? Because I want you to think of pride as a genetic condition that you inherited, okay, from our great, 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 6,000 times grandparent, Adam and Eve, okay? In Genesis 3, in the Garden of Eden, that was where we saw the inception of pride. It shifted or molded or caused an insertion of pride into our spiritual DNA. Okay, we got a little extra chromosome of pride in our spiritual DNA. And it's there where Eve gets tempted by the serpent. Okay, she ate the fruit. Now look at us looking crazy. But that single decision, it left millions of generations of humans predisposed to a genetic mutation of our heart that we're going to call the human condition. Okay. So that's why the Bible talks about how the heart is the most wicked of all. That's, we are just genetically in the spirit, genetically inclined to this. If you know anything about genetic conditions, you can't help them. You can't help them. I don't know if I shared this with y'all. I have a genetic condition. It's called Liddle syndrome. It is a rare genetic kidney disorder. I think very few people have it. The result of that is I have hypertension. And so as much as I love the people who in my life are like, oh, I'm praying that God is going to take you off that blood pressure meds, unless he's going to come and shift my DNA, he's not. He's not. What he has done is I was on the wrong medication for 13 years. I should have had a heart attack and died in 2020. I did not. That's how he keeps me. Okay. He's already healed my body. I'm on the right medication. I don't know who that's for, but girl, don't let these, please, let's know that God doesn't always remove situations. There's just times where he gets you through something, and there's glory and honor in that too for him. Amen. Okay. So I have a genetic issue. And so because of that, I have crazy hypertension. I mean, 200 over 160. And so think of that same mentality of a genetic issue in the spirit. You're born. There's nothing I could or could not have done. I was 17 years old, 150 pounds. Thick, okay, dancer, had to quit dance my senior year of high school because they thought my heart was going to enlarge. And there was just no answers for a very long time. And literally until 2020. But there was nothing I did or didn't do. It's genetic. And this isn't absolving me or you of responsibility. It's just the truth. It is what it is. We have to understand that we are wrapped in flesh, meaning that as long as you are wrapped in flesh, you are in the spirit genetically predisposed to things like pride. Because our great, 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 great times 6,000 grandmama now ate the fruit. They ate it. It better have been good. I'm going to ask her when I see it. Like, girl, was it at least tasty? Because my God, look what you did. Look what you did to us. So we've been spiritually genetically predisposed to pride. If that makes sense to you, put a two in the chat. If you're like, okay, I get it. Lady Gaga said, I was born this way. Like, we just are like this. You don't have to teach toddlers how to be little terrorists. They just become them. Like, I love them a little bit. As an overall age group, I don't really like toddlers, but I love kids. But nobody teaches them how to be little savages. They just do it. Why? Because they are also, as cute as they are, as germ-filled as they are, they are also genetically predisposed to pride. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to teach a toddler how to lie. They just do it. You don't have to tell them how to be self-centered. They just are. And now we can't go through Target because you want to fall on the floor and roll around and act like you ain't got no sense. And some of us be judging them kids, but really, if we're being for real, if we talk to the Lord, he would tell you, hey, girl, you're either acting like a toddler or a teenager in the spirit. Both of them are ungrateful. Both of them are a little musty, and both of them be cutting up because of their pride. We are just like them. You want your way, or you're done talking to God. You want what you want the way that you want it. And God is trying to be a good father. He's like, no, if you keep jumping off of the table at the doctor's office, like this little boy was doing yesterday, you're going to hurt yourself. And the little boy told his mom said, get down and sit right here. Well, I want your phone. No, you're not behaving. She said, then you're not the best. You're not the best mom anymore. Huh. And I was like, that's crazy. And God was like, my kids act like that. It's all blessings and glory and honor. They all belong to you until they don't get their way. And then I'm not the best father anymore. This ain't even in my notes. Let's really examine ourselves. I'll worship you forever until you don't do what I want. And then you're not the best anymore. And I cackled when he told him, well, you're not the best mom anymore. Boy, you'll still poop in your pants. Please relax. He wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. And he wanted it despite his behavior not warranting what he wanted. And we do the same thing to God. And the root of that is pride. And it's our human condition. And throughout the Bible, we see it happening. Cain and Abel were their direct descendants. Cain killed his brother over jealousy and pride. King Saul lost his kingdom because he tried to deliver himself. And a lot of us be doing that. I don't know who that's for. And to him, he had the reasons. He said he looked around. The people were scared. The enemy was closing in. I'm going to save myself. Despite God giving me instructions. And that sounded good, but he thought that his thoughts and his reasoning were better than God's. That's pride. And Jesus even talks about how pride positions itself and breeds self-righteousness and rejection. Yeah, I'm gonna see for myself. Yes. And rejection in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. Some of y'all so saved, you don't even know that you're spiritually musty a little bit. It's a little tart. Okay. And we have to start. My dad used to always be like, oh, you smell it yourself. Yeah. Some of us need to smell ourselves because it's funky. It's musty. You're giving God an entire sacrifice. It's supposed to be a sweet aroma. It's giving onions. It's giving sulfur. If you've ever smelled sulfur, you know it stinks like rotten eggs. It's giving. And you think that because you're in a position like the Pharisee, well, I'm not the tax collector. I'm not cheating. If you read that parable, I'm not an adulteress. I'm not this. I'm not that. But you're prideful. The tax collector's on his face repenting. And the Pharisee's like, oh, I'm good. I'm coming. I'm God. I'm praying to you right now. You see it. It's your boy. It's your boy. It's your boy. And we look just like them. Why? Why? Because. Because we are genetically predisposed to pride. So why is pride poison? Let me explain to you why pride is so poisonous. Pride is poison. When you think about poison, I watch a lot of Dateline. I watch a lot of Investigation Discovery. I watch a lot of different things that people usually are killing other people. Now, I felt like I was seeing when Jackie Hill Perry also said that she does that. It is just interesting because I'm like, these people are crazy. But it gives me a lot of perspective on the human condition. You watch the first 48, somebody could talk crazy to somebody and their pride causes them to kill that person. Now you have thrown your whole life away. For what? Pride. Pride is a poison because it infiltrates our lives without immediate awareness. So I watch way too many shows where women, mainly women, are poisoning their husbands by putting things in their food. That's right, Ari, I used to watch Snap too. They're using ethylene glycol, which is, what is it? Some fluid for your car. Now it's just antifreeze. They had to change the formula of antifreeze because it tasted sweet and you could not detect it. And people were really poisoning their husbands frequently enough to where they were like, we got to change the formula. It infiltrates without immediate awareness, just like antifreeze. And the danger is not in it being something lethal. Most times, yes, arsenic too. Most times, it's not about it being lethal. Most times, there is an anti, like poison. You call poison control, you can get some activated charcoal, and you're likely going to live. The reason that these people die is because the reason they die is because the poison goes undetected for so long. And by the time they start showing symptoms, their hair falling out, they're losing weight, their organs are shutting down. When they draw their lab levels, yes, the poison has accumulated. Pride works just like that. The antifreeze isn't what does them. One dose doesn't do them in. It's the accumulation of the poison in their body over time. And that is the same way. That's right. Small doses of sweetness. Come on. It's the same way that pride be having us out here looking crazy. It creeps in. Pride don't pull up, but yo, what's up? I'm Pride. You know what it is. Like, it's not like that. It's very slow acting. It's just like that arsenic. It's just like that antifreeze. You don't even know it's in your drink. You just know I keep bringing it to you. And then eventually, you're sick. And it's really showing up. You're losing your hair. You're losing weight. You're throwing up. Your kidneys are shutting down. All of these things. You're like, what is going on? Pride. Pride. The effects of pride are just like these poisons because they are it's progressively debilitating. Over time, it weakens our spiritual health, it corrupts our relationships with people, and it distances us from God. The same way that physical poison disrupts your body functions. The same way it disrupts the way you, it changes the way you look. It changes your capacity to do things. Pride disrupts our spiritual well-being and our moral compass. And the most dangerous aspect of poison and pride is that oftentimes there's a delay in you recognizing what it is. So you get your thyroid checked. You see that you're sick. You want to get your thyroid checked. You're checking your blood pressure. They may even start you on some medication. You may even get misdiagnosed with another disease. And all the while, the poison continues, right? It continues. So you are like, man, God, I really need to stop cussing people out. Let me watch what I say. And you're trying really hard to maintain. But that's just a symptom. Pride is the disease. So you might be able to manage the symptom, but it's still running shot in your body. So the same way that we are making sure that we're vigilant against the dangers of physical toxins, you have to be equally as vigilant for guarding your heart against the subtle doses of pride. So that means you have to have regular self-examination, like what we did with the questions, accountability, a humble heart. Yes, we have to be preventative and not reactive. We do a lot of reacting because a lot of us are so fixated on the devil. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Baby, it's your genetics. Our flesh, our heart is wicked. Jesus defeated the devil. Holy Spirit is here to help us with us. We are aware of them. We're aware of the schemes of him, but we be categorizing the devils. We want to give them names. Oh, I got a spirit spouse. Girl, what? No, you have pride, which is leading to lust. Let's keep it a buck 50. Self-examination, accountability, and humility. That's what we need. But we got more to it. So what does it mean to be prideful? Here's your definition. Girl, Google, not Google. Hey, Google, stop. Why is she trying to answer my question? So pride is an attitude or a state of mind where you arrogantly assert your own will and desire over God's. It's characterized by self-importance and exalted ego. It manifests in a preference for self-governance. I want to do what I want to do. And when God is requiring me to do something that I don't want to do, I'm out. Oh, it can't be God because I'm uncomfortable. Or you're really just prideful and you don't want to do what he got to say because you don't feel like it has any value. And you don't have to say that out of your mouth. Your heart says it, right? God searches the heart and tests the mind in the scripture. Your heart says it. We do that instead of embracing faith and embracing what God said. It says it's a conceited evaluation of ourselves that leads to a distortion of one's relationship with God and others, marked by a lack of true humility and servanthood. Do you serve God, or are you constantly expecting God to serve you? Let me know in the chat. If we're being for real, when you have conversations with God, how many of the conversations are you seeking God so you can really serve him? Or are most of your conversations characterized by you expecting God to serve you? I will tell you that when God asked me this question, I said, please. Because you know the answer. Please. Yes, God gives us good gifts, makes him happy. But we are here to serve him. And a lot of us have heart postures where we get upset. It just shows the entitlement. Because I am expecting God to serve me. That's where my heart is. That's why when I don't get my way, I can peace out. Because when you don't serve my purpose, I'm out. I'm done talking to you. When you don't serve my purpose, now all of a sudden you don't love me. Like you ain't seen your son to die for me. Like, you ain't wake me up this morning. When you don't serve my purpose the way that I want it served, now we got a problem. Now I can't hear from you. You could hear from him if your heart was postured to serve him. But pride will keep us from hearing from God. When you look at all of the things that you are needing breakthrough and deliverance from, pride is at the root. I looked at every work of the flesh, and pride is rooted in all of them. Pride is the issue. Yet I woke up this morning, despite us being like this, he still wakes us up, loves us, disciplines us. How great is our God? How great is our God? So how does pride seep in? Let's look at 1 John 2:16. This is when I knew that we was talking about pride. Okay. I was studying this for myself. I was studying something else. And then I ended up here and I said, oh my God. 1 John 2:16, I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievement and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The King Jimmy version says, and what you may be familiar is that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. How does pride seep in? Your flesh. How does pride seep in? Your eyes, what you're fixated on. How does pride seep in? The way you live your life. Do y'all see any demons listed here? Asking for me. I don't see that the devil made me do it is on here. Right? I don't see that. And as much as we like to blame spiritual warfare, sometimes the warfare is the fight between our flesh and the spirit, and the enemy's just exploiting it. Little Lucy only can do what you give him access to. This is why you have to put on the full armor of God. You're so proud of what's here on the earth that you forget that we have life after this. We don't live here. We are renting. This body, it's rented. These clothes, rented. The money in my bank, rented. This ain't my house. Jesus said he was leaving to go build my actual home. I'm grateful for where I am now. But I can't allow this physical life, the stuff, to make me so boastful that I exalt myself above God. I can't allow my flesh to get me acting prideful. I can't allow what I see to get me acting prideful. Now, we talking about little Lucy. We're not talking about him being responsible for our decisions. Okay, because even with Eve, she had a decision to make and she made it. Just like we all have the opportunity to make a decision. We talk about the devil as if God doesn't live on the inside of us, as if we don't have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the enemy as if he's not already defeated. Yeah, we need to be aware. The same way we're aware of if we go out, like people may run up on us. Use wisdom. Right? Use wisdom. But like, let's act like we got the blicky, because we do. Like, don't run up on me. It's going to be a little confrontation. You're not going to win. The devil made me do it to me is like the equivalent of the dog ate my homework. Like, bro, accountability. accountability. Yes, you can be in bondage to something, but we have to get to the bottom of it. If he says whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven, you don't need someone to lay hands on you for you to be delivered. Jesus already delivered all of us. Do you need to be delivered, or do I need to make better decisions? Because the Bible says that the enemy tempts us, and God does not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Tempted beyond what we can bear. That means he always makes a way of escape. That's scripture.
All right, friend. Y'all okay? Friend, are you all right? Did God reveal some things to you? See, that's the real blessing, because now we can deal with it. We can submit and surrender that thing. I'm proud of you for listening all the way to the end, because those are one of those lessons. It wasn't really comfortable, but we have to have the conversation. Y'all hear me in the lesson telling on myself, because please know that if I teach it, I've had to live through it. If I teach it, I have to be dealt with in the area first. So I'm so grateful for you. I pray that this bless you. Don't forget to connect with us on social media, download the app, join the society. We strive for 5. Go ahead and rate the podcast 5 stars, friend. Okay. Leave us a review, and we will talk next week as we wrap up our Bible study blitz series.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.